Greetings, Earthlings! Welcome to the Beyond the Tinfoil Hat, a podcast by the Experiencer Support Association. I'm your host, Jamie Delzell, and I want you to join us for a trip down another rabbit hole where we find all kinds of unusual and unexplained phenomena. Remember, the first 30 minutes of the show is absolutely free and available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Head over to Patreon and catch 30 minutes and beyond of extra audio as we dive even further into today's topics, exclusively for our subscribed fans with top secret clearance. Now let's dive right into it.
All right, it is, I had to check my watch, January the 16th, it's Thursday, exactly 3:02 p.m. Eastern Time.
2020.
And Eastern Standard Time, that's right, because there is different Eastern Times. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday, January 16th, we're all here, well, we're all here minus Michael. It's Jamie.
Ryan.
Deanna.
And this is obviously Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. And let's get into it, guys. We've got a couple really exciting things to talk about today, so we're going to do that. First off, thank you all for listening and commenting. There's been a lot of cool stuff that we've been seeing on the page, on the Facebook page. Some great things. And we kind of had this format, I believe, if you listened to the first episode, we mentioned about it. And thanks to your listening and divulging some facts, we can start looking into some case files and investigations.
Uncharted case files.
Yes, so it's super exciting. So thank you guys for trusting us with some of your stories. And this is going to be really cool. I'm very excited about this kind of opportunity for us to bring into the podcast and speak on some actual investigations. So I don't know, Ryan, if you want to kind of touch a bit more on that.
Yeah, so the last 3 days I've been hitting the reports really hard. I'm trying to get caught up. I'm now on report number 31 out of the 70 out of the first batch that we have. Wow. I have been learning a lot of interesting things about things I have never heard of before, but I'm finding validation. I am finding supporting theories of other people mentioning the same things, and I'm only one person who doesn't believe, but there seems to be a lot of other people who do believe, and it's screwing me up a little bit, because I'm not only hearing about it, I'm retrieving drawings. The experiencers are very patient, and they are taking their time, and they are helping me visualize exactly what it is that they see. And what I'm starting to notice now, not only are they describing similar things, they are also drawing similar things. And, you know, they say, what is that saying? A picture says 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so when I hear about it and I try to debunk it, and then I see it and I'm like, well, that is hard to describe. So I understand why you didn't put that in your report. Why would you draw something like this? And it doesn't seem to associate or resonate with anything that I know about. And I'm in a rabbit hole.
Hmm.
Not out of it yet, but so it's good.
It's super. Yeah, it's really interesting and super cool. And we're going to get to share some of it with you again for our Patreon members. You will get to see and hear a lot more of it. So if you haven't subscribed yet or become a member, you definitely should, because we'll hopefully pique your interest enough to check that out and get some of that good stuff in the next half hour. But in the meantime, Dee and I haven't seen any of these reports or anything. Ryan has some stuff to share with us, which is going to be cool. So you'll get to hear it, hear our reaction and our thoughts on it live for the first time here.
That's what we're doing today. We're going to do the first one today.
Should we?
I don't know. We can, right? It was just floating the idea out there for the future. But
okay.
Well, what better day than today? If you have a file, let's make it happen.
So we thought again, if you listen to the first episode, we kind of threw a bunch of ideas out, and we've kind of been going on a format that's worked, and 100% we can stick with it, but I think we all are in agreeance that this is a very unique, interesting, and niche thing that we can do, and super cool. So I think
Just going to pull up the report here, and so for you guys listening, what I'm going to do is we're just going to explain a report that was done. And once all these reports are done for 2019, there will be a survey and a an explanatory report of all the data that was collected. But there will be the images will not be provided. The images are going to be on my person, and I'm going to go around and speak at various places about these experiences and show these pictures then. The reason for that is we want you guys to come and listen. We want you guys to actually divulge. And some of these things are very extreme that we need to make sure that they don't get into the wrong hands. So we're not going to publicly post them yet until some time has passed because some of this information I know as MUFON, I've never seen while I worked with MUFON. So, like, people just seem to trust me more now that I'm not with MUFON.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's cool, right? You're getting some possibly exclusive stuff that's never been shared with
stuff that I feel uncomfortable possessing.
Right.
I just want to, like, just print it, save it, bury it, and never tell anybody where it's from. It's just terrifying. So let me open up the report.
This is serial.
So, for those who don't know the reporting process, if you go to tessacan.org and select the reporting system, you'll be able to make a report about your event. I recommend you starting with the first event or the one event that's most significant, and then put supplement reports in afterwards. Now, I investigate everyone by the person, not by the event. So each experiencer or each witness that reports, once all your reports are in and all the things that you can think of are in, then I investigate all those cases in one batch. And when I say I'm on case number 30, I mean batch number 30. So there's more than just 30 cases. Mm-hmm. And then I have an overall analysis of what's happening to that individual because some of these things are related. If there's signs of abductions, usually there's some paranormal encounters that happened previously in their life, and we kind of fester into that. Sometimes I get just a bunch of small paranormal things, and then later on we get an abduction, but the person doesn't realize that those paranormal things are connected to the abduction. Mm-hmm. So it's a different process. It's more extensive. We have less cases than MUFON does, but less is more.
Yeah.
So the cases that we do provide are legitimate and serious and well investigated, and they impact. Yeah. So every case that comes in, I get it. I get the personals. I get the confidential stuff. There's an agreement that's made, and then what I do is I create a document for public, which takes what was explained by the witness. It redacts personal information because it's not needed. I retell the story based on how it was explained to me in this report in a way that can be communicated properly, and then I try to validate or verify that the events are possible or that they've happened to someone else. And then at the end of it, I put my analysis.
Hmm.
So, for the purpose of this, this is a 7-page report, but I'm just going to read the event as described by the witness.
Cool.
And you guys are hearing this all for the first time.
Yeah.
So, as a child, I was sleeping in my room across from my closet. My parents would close the door to my room while I used my room door to block my closet door. The closet door opened and there was a portal-type hole. A man in a dark suit, it appeared to walk out. He told me to come with him for a few minutes. I felt I had no choice, nor did I scream or resist for some reason. I was taken to a base where I heard someone say data mark and a number. I later found out I was that number. I ended up spending 23 years, 4 months in space after my training in various bases. Honestly, I don't think I ever saw the actual sun until we all left the planet. Earth Defense Forces, Alaska base. I went to the moon, then on to Mars. I have an impression of Jupiter station and seeing the platform in the rings of Saturn. I was told as a child I was a precog, and that was why I was picked up. I spent some time out of the galaxy Cygnus 5 for a while. I was returned to my home at almost the exact time and date they took me after I did my 20 and home. Some people did not come home for various reasons. I learned how to drive off-world vehicles on the moon. I had dreams of places in combat that make little sense to me. The last event I dreamt while getting blown up in a shaft, we meaning my unit and myself, as I felt rescued some captives and were moving them up the shaft. We were being chased. The conditions of the captives was bad. They were gaining. I was in the rear covering the back as the leader. It felt I was responsible for everyone to get out. And sorry, this is word from word. And continue to move forward. Next thing, the shaft was concussive directive 2. I took the brunt in the back. I was dragged out by one of my team. I felt my leg was gone. When I woke, my leg was in serious pain. I mean, I could barely stand on it, and I have trouble walking on it for about 4 days. I noticed sometime after a scar on the inside of my knee. So that was the initial report that came in.
Wow.
What are your thoughts for hearing that for the first time?
Yeah, that's wild.
This is good, because now I get to turn the table over to you.
That's interesting.
So were the injuries that she succumbed was from later from the dreams, or was she remembered she had them as a child when she woke up or she returned?
So the injuries exist in real life,
mm-hmm.
and it's believed that this event was a dream.
But the injuries that she noticed with the knee in the 4 days was after she had the dream, or when she was as a child? Because this happened as a child, she said.
Right, as a child.
So, yeah. That's...
So, and it's a he.
It's okay. I visualize a she.
I didn't say what the sex was, but I know what it is.
I visualize a she for some reason.
I did not. So I was like, where did I miss that? Yeah, because it's very interesting. This person, at 6 years old, went into this portal, was gone for 23 years in this realm or world, but was returned back to the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he have dreams now where he recounts that and that stuff happens? Like,
there's a couple supplemental reports that he has also provided where he's astral traveled.
Right.
Which would make sense. Which could be connected to the story. Now, this is the information that he has. So I responded by asking a few questions.
Yeah.
Just want to keep track on the time.
Oh, good.
Because we could go forever on these topics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. You guys are. This is basically going to be one episode, I would say.
Third episode. Mm-hmm. What we plan to do is have the witness on the show as well.
Yes.
So what I did then is I validated the possibility of these things happening. So I could say that there appears to be a psychic phenomenon called psychic portaling. Mm. I have links that's in the report that support these theories. Psychic portals are also referenced as spirit portals, so there's that concept. Men in black is a common term to describe strange men in dark suits, so we all know that.
Yeah.
Jupiter station appears to be attached to a show called Star Trek Voyager, so I had put some play thought into the process that he may be bringing something in from shows that he likes.
Right. Right.
Cygnus 5 is also a planet that's been shown primarily in Futurama.
Right.
But if we fast forward through this 7 pages later, I've already proved credibility, and I believe him to be telling the truth.
Okay, cool.
So I wrote my first impression. So as the information does check out, actually I just said my first impression. So the first questions that I asked is, what was the witness and his team wearing during this event? What did the captives look like during the event? And elaborate more on the dark suited man. So he's provided pictures of that.
Wow.
And I will show you guys those pictures in the 30 minute Patreon special. Nice. And we'll see see those for the first time.
And pictures, like
drawings. Okay, of what he saw. Like,
whoa, what?
No,
yeah. Hold on, figure. I'm just gonna go ahead and grab the camera.
Drawings, yeah.
Well, the world. I mean, that's obviously why the world.
So I get those pictures back, and so the picture that I see is a dark suited man, 6 feet tall, clean shaven, with no hair, dark eyes, nicely fit, black, two buttons, chest pocket. So it's a very descriptive photo. Mm-hmm. Hat was black, resembled a fedora. Tie was black, narrow, wings were knotted, shoes were black. So he's very, very detailed in remembering what it looks like. So the men in black stereotype or classification does fit, but is that what that was? He mentioned an insignia. I asked him to draw that insignia. He did. Had various shades of black and purple on it. Inside the center of it was the Egyptian Eye of Ra. And then, after seeing these photos, I recommended him go for regression hypnotherapy.
Nice.
So he met up with Leslie sometime after this report. So April 22nd is when I talked to him last, and then I got the regression audio file December 24th.
Oh, nice. I was going to ask you about
that. So some time has passed.
Right.
So would you guys like to hear what he said in the regression?
Of course. But before that, let's go to a commercial break.
Commercial break.
A little word from our sponsor.
Have you ever seen an alien or a UFO?
Or how about a ghost or Bigfoot?
Have you ever experienced missing time or future thought?
Or how about strange, unusual feelings of positive or negative energies?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Go to tessacan.org and report to the Experiencer Support Association.
That's TESACAN.org.
Our team of professional private investigators will help you and your family understand what may be happening.
We will also provide experiencers with the executive support like Reiki, hypnotherapy, mentoring, and wellness.
Everything is connected.
You are not alone.
We believe you.
Report today and help us continue to heed the world.
Hi there, this is Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio, where together, my friends, we own the night. On our website, spacedoutradio.com, we have a place called the SOR Sightlines Report. All of our investigations and people who inquire are turned over to TESA, the Experiencer Support Association. Ryan Stacey and his crew, what I like about them, they're independent. They're not working for anybody, and they want answers. We want answers for our listeners and people who inquire as well about their experiences. It's a great tandem, and we love being teamed up with TESA. If you haven't heard of us before, that's okay. We'd love to earn your listening ears. Join us 9:06 Pacific Time, 12:06 a.m. Eastern for 3 hours of live entertainment 7 days a week.
All right, we're back. Dinosaur story.
Dinosaurs.
You remember that movie? No? We're back? Dinosaur story?
No.
You got kids.
Oh, dinosaurs. I have kids now. That's like from when we were kids.
Okay. So before the break, we were talking about HSPT, which is High Strangeness Paranormal Database, case number 2019003, which stands for the year 2019.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Case
so
number
many
three.
Numbers.
Okay. All right. So that's the way it's being categorized.
Cool.
This witness, precog, allegedly secret space program, all these things, these are dreams and visions that he's remembering. In this life, they're just starting to come back to him, and he's trying to find out why. So he was sent for regression. I got that audio file back, and I had it on the 24th, but I just transcribed it on the 7th of January, so that
was nice and recent.
About a week ago. Week or so ago. So in the report, you'll see the times that the information came in, and we're still recording good. All right. just wanted to make sure.
Because
weird things happen when...
Yes, happen when you speak strange stuff.
Yeah. So I'm just going to... So at first, Leslie had brought him back to a happy place at the age of 15. He remembers playing cards. Nothing was there. Sorry.
Nice.
Go back. Happy time at the age of 30. Response was he sees a universe. Then he was brought back to a happy time at the age of 20. His response was looks like a zoo. He's with a friend, which I won't name. It's redacted here. Then he was brought back to a happy time at the age of 15. He remembers playing cards with the family. And then he went back a little further to the first experience, something unusual. And his response is, it's weird, it's like a crib and a light. So the assumption is he is an infant in a crib at this time of his memory. Mm-hmm. When asked where the light may be coming from, his reply was, the wall. I can't see it. So when asked about the light, he says, it's like somebody's there. I can't see, really. And then the witness says, why is this hurting? When asked what is hurting, he replied, my leg. When asked to focus on the pain, he replied, it's like he's touching above my knee, excuse me, inside the leg, and he just stops and goes. When asked what the hands look like, he replied, black, like a glove or something, and said the energy is male, but feels heavier. Oh, sorry, when asked how his body felt, he says, heavier. When asked how he's being left, he replied, back to the light, and the light just closes. So this was in the crib. So, you know, how old, 1 to 3, maybe?
Yeah.
Crib time?
Three, somewhere in there, I think.
Back to the light. So that is interesting, because that is a time similar to what he had described in the
beginning. Yeah.
Similar format. And then he was asked to move forward to the next experience. And then he replies, closed door opens their back. Just one. When asked if it was the same being before, he said it was similar. They said, hi, how are you? And then they said, it's time to go. I travel through the light. It's a portal door. And when asked where the portal led him to, he said, base. Where was the base located? He says, I'm unsure. I think Camp Hero. So that is the memory of what the report was. So that was the day that the report came in. Okay. So we have that event happening as an infant, and then, which almost duplicates the event that he's reporting.
Right. It was interesting because he said in his first thing he read that he didn't know why he went with them, but it's clear that now with that extra memory, there is that familiarity.
And that's why regression is important, because it brings you back. And Leslie doesn't feed you anything. She asks you to think of that moment in time, and then you speak. There's a bunch of... Leslie is nice enough to send me just the conversation, not the hypnosis beforehand. So I don't fall, so I don't go under before, so I can listen to the audio. But there is an extensive process that she does to bring you there and to bring you out.
Of course.
And it works.
So interesting.
Where are we at for time here?
Yeah, you got another like 8 minutes.
8 minutes? I got lots to say, man.
Well, that's all right. Then you can share a lot of stuff in the next half hour.
This is
lovely people who decide
to contribute to Patreon. If you haven't contributed yet, you might as well get there now. www.patreon.com/the Experiencer Support Association. $7 a month will let you see all this stuff.
Yes. Best $7 a month you'll ever spend.
So, I travel the light and Portland's door. Just me in a room. Oh, yeah. So when asked who he was with, he said, just me in a room. I hear like a time mark. So that matches to what he said at the very beginning, which the report was like 6 or 7 months prior.
Right.
So a lot of time has passed. So he is in hypnosis and he's repeating information that
was
there. There's credibility right there. I'm taken out my door, down a corridor by somebody. Who is it? A girl? A woman? I think. When asked if this woman was human, the response was yes. She's taking me to a room with beds. I'm told this is going to be my new home for a while. That's not making me happy. You know why you're going. You know why you're picked. When asked why he was picked, the response was, because I can see things. They're not just picking people who can see things, they're picking people. Everybody's different. When asked if anyone else in the room with him, the response was, six people make it through the night. When asked how old he was, the response was 13, I think.
Huh.
When asked what happens in the morning, the response is, we were all given uniforms. When asked what the uniform looks like, the response is, like a deep royal blue and black. And when asked if there were any girls, the response was, no, they don't care about girls. They put the boys together. It's whoever suits the purpose. When asked what he was tasked to do on that day, his response was orientation. It's kind of like a routine, given some needles and get fed and examination. And so for me, like that's what it sounds to me like BMQ, basic military qualification.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just everyone oriented, doesn't matter what trade you're in, you know, you go through the basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
When asked what kind of people are around, he said everybody's human. Right, so there's a lot of weird things, but there's no aliens,
right? Right?
Which is odd, because you usually hear aliens, but it's still a strange thing. It's not at all.
Yeah.
When asked if this was an Earth operation, the response was yes.
Huh.
So when asked what kind of training do you do, what the response was, skills to strengthen the mind. You try to predict what's happening. You are greeting energies, looking at events, what's going on versus what's going to happen. So that's some sort of remote viewing too.
Right.
So when asked if he's moving on some sort of timeline physically, the response was yeah. When asked if this event was a military application, he said, "Oh yeah, it's what they want you for. Everybody here is military now. They all know we're going to split up. Some of us won't make it. They will be blanked and put back." When asked what other training he went through, his response was fitness training and education. When asked if he was taught to engage with other beings, the response was, it's coming. When asked how old he was when he began this training, he said 16 or 17. When asked when he is, the response is, I don't know, everything's down underground. You move underground, all I know is where we left from. When asked if he was still a human workforce, the response was, yeah, for the most part. So now we fast forward like 4 years, right? There may be something in the lower levels, but we don't have access. When asked what he thinks is happening in the lower levels, he replies, I know exactly what's going on. They're doing genetic manipulation and experimentation with everybody. When asked what they are trying to accomplish, he replies, adaptability. When asked if they were interested in our DNA, he replied, our DNA is the best DNA. Our DNA is adaptable everywhere.
Huh.
When asked why our DNA was adaptable, the response was, because that's how our DNA was made. Humans were the genetic experiment. Technically, we weren't supposed to survive. They'll never give a precog a chance to look. We asked who bothers him, and he responded, some of the Dracos. They're the splinter faction of the Dracos, like a splinter faction of the Nazis. They are more like the Thulls in what they use to call themselves. They're humans. Everybody thinks that Germany lost the war. Well, Germany did lose the war, but they didn't really lose. It's like they were a splinter group within the war faction of Germany, was looking to expand, and they used one parse, like they used a greater whole to try to achieve their ends. They managed to do it, even though they didn't think they could. So they got what they wanted, so then they just became like, yeah, I don't like them, black suits. So the people pulling them through the portal may be Germans.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
When asked if there were any other non-human beings other than the Dracos, he replied, tall, blonde, Scandinavian style. They tend to be bodyguards and workers for the Greys, because the Greys can't take a lot of damage. They can't do a lot of stuff, but their strength is in their mind. So they use the Scandinavian talls. They adapted human DNA, so they ended up with these guys so that they are more resilient, more immune. They just travel better. So when it was asked to move forward to another time, where he was given his first orders under this directive, and he said, 18, time to go off world. And how much time we got?
Yeah, like a couple more minutes.
Couple minutes. All right.
So a lead in to keep them intrigued, so y'all can join the rest of this awesome story.
We're probably going to just stop there.
That's wild.
And we'll continue reading this report in the Patreon Perfect. Section. And then what we'll do is I'll show you these photos.
Awesome.
And you guys who are paid to see this stuff, that's great. Those who are not paying, you will get to see these photos eventually. At some point, eventually. But if you want to see them now, you know, then hop on over to the Patreon.
Because eventually it could be anything. Eventually it could be 5 years from now.
Yeah, it could be 5 years from now. Just know that I have it. I didn't just write this up for no reason. This is me transcribing information.
You could see it right now.
Go to patreon.com.
But I want to touch on this before we finish off our free portion. That is awesome. That's such a, like, I don't know, it's weird. You hear that and it sounds like a full out crazy science fiction thing. Mm-hmm. But I hear it and I'm like, that does not seem.
They're supporting, outrageous. There's a lot of supporting facts. So Camp Hero is actually in Montauk, New York.
Wow.
And that is actually like the premise of Stranger Things.
Okay.
So like the places exist. Whether he comes to know that information or not, I believe him to be credible enough in the way the information. That is weird. Jamie's water bottle lid just popped open.
That was weird strange. Timing.
Weird timing. Swing.
Boink.
Boink. So anyways, yeah.
That is extremely fascinating, and I like am excited to hear more about this and dive more into that. And
so we'll hop over the Patreon for you guys. It might be like, you know, a week or so before you hear this. Patreon members might be instantaneous, you know, might be instantaneously maybe, mm-hmm. but for us, it's going to be right now.
It's going to be right now for us, yeah. So tune in, keep tuning in. Thank you guys again. Leave comments, post. Like Ryan said, we are already in talks with some guests, so hopefully we will be able to get the people from these reports that we're talking about onto the podcast.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can get him on next Thursday.
So there we go. That's awesome. That'd be great. So for the rest of you, we'll see you in a couple seconds on Patreon. And for everyone else, keep tuning in, keep enjoying, share it, tell your friends. Hate the world.
That's it for another journey into the fringe. Thanks for joining us here on Beyond the Tinfoil Hat. Catch us next week and follow us again into the realm of mystery and unknown.
For access to the entire episode and more, head to Patreon and find us under the Experiencer Support Association. You can also follow us on Facebook on our page, the Experiencer Support Association, TESA, and on Instagram, Beyond the Tinfoil Hat.